bring you some word today. Now, 3 weeks ago, I did a message. It's called Stay Out of the Ditches. And it was actually part one of this message. This is part two. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a quick review. I'm not going to throw all the scripture in, because if you want to see this brought out in the Word of God, you can go and find that on our YouTube, right? And so, but I want to give you the foundation just so you won't be lost. Now, this series I'm doing, much like I believe Pastor Paul and I both, the Lord has been telling us to get back to some basics, to get back to some foundational things, some simpler things in the Word of God. Because if we don't understand some foundational things, it makes it hard to understand what the Word of God is talking about in the first place. It can be really confusing. So He's been teaching that we are an eternal spirit who has a mind, emotions, will, a soul, who lives in a body, right? And taking us through the Word on that. And we have to understand that to understand much of the Word of God. And when we do understand, when we see ourselves that way, the Word of God starts making sense. When, in the same vein, I've started to teach here the balance between grace and faith, and how that operates together, mixing faith with the grace of God. And it's very foundational, and when we understand it, the Word of God starts to open up, and we start to understand. And many of you, I know I say a lot, you know, God created us to operate a certain way. He formed us to operate a certain way. And until we really understand that, it's hard. We can't operate like God designed us to, okay? So it's very foundational. So here's the review. First, I'm not going to cover everything, but just quickly, last week we talked about having an extreme grace reasoning, to be grace only, and that leads to a wrong view of the sovereignty of God, which in other words is that everything and anything that happens is God's will, and that's not scriptural. In fact, when that happens, God gets blamed for everything. And if God brings disaster and disease and sickness and you know, sorrow and pain and all of this stuff, every court in the world would say he's worse than Hitler. You've heard that one lately, right? It's like, and convict him. It's so, that's not God. That's not our God. So, and then we talked about extreme faith reasoning, where everything's about faith. And under that one, we get into the ditch of, I can move God. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change, right? And so under that, I get in the mindset that I get God to change his decisions based on my actions. And that's not scriptural. It doesn't work that way. We're not changing his decisions. He's already made all his decisions. See, the church has taught wrongly for a long time that, you know, well, God, you know, I wake up in the morning, God wakes up in the morning, and he's making decisions about my life. No, he already made his decisions. They're good ones, but we need to go there. So, I also started to cover, and we can go ahead and put Hebrews 4:16 up, please. But I always, let's just read this one real quick. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And let's just leave it right there, because that's such a there are many verses. You know, we need to see the balance and the composite of the Word of God to see fully what grace is. But that's one really good view of the grace of God upon our lives. Grace is what God has done for us independent of us. Before we were born, before anybody thought of us, except for God, He's always thought of us, each and every one of us. Grace is His gifts. That's what the word literally means. It's charis in the Greek. It means gift, right? His gifts, His promises, His will. Both His general and specific will in the Word of God. It's His unchangeable will as recorded in the Word of God. That's grace. So we already know what God thinks. We know what His heart set is toward us. We know what He wants. Okay? And it should guide the specific parts of our life and the general part of our life. Grace alone does not save us. We explored that 3 weeks ago. And remember the word save, sozo, is not just being forgiven, not just starting eternal life with God, that, yes, happens in heaven when we die, but it started now when we were born again, right? But we need more than just the grace of God. So let's go ahead and put up Hebrews 11:6, if you would, please. So we talked about what faith is. Faith is our positive response to grace. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He, go ahead and give us the next verse, you've got it up there, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's not the next verse, it's the next second part of the verse. So we need the balance of Scripture to see what faith is, but this is a view into how faith interacts with grace, right? We need to diligently seek Him. And we're going to explore, we're going to talk about both these a little more today, but I'm trying to give you the foundation so we don't have to, we can stand on that and build, right? Faith is, see, God doesn't respond to us. We respond to Him. Make sense? Faith does not get God to do something. Faith changes me to receive what God has already done. Making sense? And we covered scripturally these things last time. Faith is only a response to what God has already provided. God is not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of faith. It's the Word of God. We'll show it to you. And that faith being our fully persuaded response to His Word. Did you hear what I said? Our fully persuaded response to His Word. Not part faith and part not faith. We have to get to the full, the goal is to get to the fully persuaded part, right? And so faith alone does not save us or make us whole and complete. Sozo, right? Okay, now we're ready to start. So Ephesians 2, verse 8, and this is where we were last week. But let's talk about it again, because this is the core of this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So, for by everything that God has already provided outside of you and me, right? We have been sozoed, made whole and complete through faith. through our fully persuaded response to his grace. To make sense to you, is this verse a little clearer? Maybe a little simpler? Today, you know, I did a teaching this morning on the difference between the real gospel and the not real gospel. And it's about grace. And if you want to see that, that's on the truck stop recording for this morning. But we have to understand these basic foundational things, and then we can build on that. Okay, you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God. Talking about faith, even faith is part of grace. God gave us the measure of faith so that we could believe him for our salvation. The 1% of our salvation, that is, for receiving forgiveness and eternal life with him, so we can move into the hundredfold of the rest of grace. All the other things Jesus accomplished at the cross. And if we're still walking around in shame and guilt, we're struggling with the 1%. We just sang songs this morning about who we are and who God is. And, you know, if we see ourselves that way, if we know those are true, then we can step out and move on to the hundredfold. That's where I get the 1% and the 99, because a hundredfold is 100 times the one, right? So, okay, we're going to see that in Scripture, actually. Verse 9, please. And that he is a rewarder, no, not of works. And we were talking about faith, right, being part of grace. Not of works, lest any should boast. See, faith is not a work. It's a response. We got nothing to boast about. It's a response with the faith part of grace that he's already gave us. It's just a response. Now, when we respond to God, we need the Word of God, because we need to learn, we need to grow, we need to have knowledge of God, and that should turn into believing God. And we start out with a mix of not believing and believing. And the more we continue in it, we should get to fully persuaded. That's the goal. Fully persuaded of what God said. See, we get stuck somewhere in there and just keep moving toward the goal of how you were created and I was created to operate. It's really not a difficult concept. It's pretty simple. We just need to keep it simple instead of make it hard, right? This makes it hard. This right here makes it easy. This is the goal. I know God's word. You can't take it away from me. You can't argue me out of it. You can't convince me. It's a done deal with God, and it's a done deal with me. Now I'm fully persuaded. Is it making sense? Okay. Verse 10, please. For we are his workmanship. See, this by grace through faith is part of his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, the works come out of the operating in the by grace through faith. They don't come, they're not supposed to be done in our carnal self, in our five senses self. They're supposed to be coming from the inside of us out instead of the outside and trying to get them in. Is that making sense? Because then they're not of God. They're not of the Spirit of God, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, this is part of how we're created. To know God's grace and respond with the faith he gave us. And strengthen that and grow that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But that's our design right here. Right here in verse 9 and 10 of Ephesians 2. Okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans 10 and 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, and by the way, what this Isaiah says right here, that's in, we're not going there today, but it's Isaiah 53, verse 1. And it's right before, in Isaiah, it tells us that Jesus is coming to take our iniquities, take our sins, but also heal our diseases and our infirmities. The wholeness of the gospel, the fullness of the gospel. It's right here. See, it's all about, are we going to believe it or not? So Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? See, we don't read that one. We quote around here Romans 10, 17 all the time. But it's set on top of verse 16. Okay? Verse 17, please. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, that's one of those verses that gets so rote, we lose the content of it. We lose the importance of it. Because faith only comes one way in the long run. Now, if I were to raise a dead body to life right here in front of you, you'd be excited and you'd be all stirred up and you might obtain a little bit of faith with that. But when the excitement died down and you go on to live your life, you're not going to retain faith from that or anything else, anything else. Faith for our lives, for walking out our lives, only comes one way. You see how important this verse is? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we need to not stop hearing the word of God. Okay? Let's look at John chapter 1, please. And of his fullness, whose fullness? Jesus, right? He gave us everything we will ever need. And of his fullness we have all received. And grace for grace. That means he gave us grace to know grace. And he gave us, and remember that's gift. All the gifts of God, all the promises, all the goodness of God, right? He gave us gift after gift after gift after gift after gift after. Let's go beyond. It's so important we get that 1%. Yes, I don't want to deny that for 1 second, that we need to know his forgiveness and know his eternal life, right? But why are we stopping at 1% when there's 99 more percent, right? He gave us gift after gift after gift. And his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Next verse, please. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, the law is important in that, you know, we couldn't fulfill it. We needed it to see that we couldn't fulfill it. And the law was there so Jesus could fulfill it, so we would know that he was our Savior, right? And could pay for all this grace, right? Because it's a gift to us. And so the law is important, but we need to quit trying to add Jesus plus something to the equation. Because Jesus did the law, took care of it, so it's just Jesus now. For everything, all of sozo, all of our wholeness and completeness. See, and we need to see the Word of God that way. We're going to talk about that a little bit here. Where are we at? Is that verse 17? Yes. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, please. See, I want to talk a little bit more about this is applicable to spirit, soul, and body that Pastor Paul is teaching too, because this is how we're created. Now, we all know that Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? If we don't believe that, we might as well throw our Bible away, because we're not going to understand the rest of it. If we discount Genesis in any way, the beginning, the foundation of everything, we're not going to get everything else, right? Then God said, this is verse 26 of chapter 1, I believe. Then God said, let us make man in our image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. Over how much of the earth? All the earth. Who's got authority over all the earth? We do. Especially now that God gave it all to Jesus and he gave it to us. Right? All the exegesis, however you say it, the authority to use the dunamis, the power of God. It's his power, not yours, not mine, but we have the authority to use it, right? The gospel is the power of God. Then the almost too good to be true, which is what that word means, gospel. Rare word until it showed up in the Bible, right? All that gives us authority over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Next verse. So God created man in his own image. Remember, God's a spirit. You're a spirit who has a mind, emotions, will, a soul, and lives in a body, right? If we don't see ourselves the way God created us, then we get confused about what the Word of God really says. We want to make the foundation simple but solid so we can put something on it, right? And what we're doing is we're checking our foundation today. Make sure it's solid, right? I have to do that. 35 years teaching the Word of God, and I still have to do that. I still have to check the foundation. Right? Where are we at? Verse 27. So God created man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. Boy, what a concept, right? He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. This is his heart for us. Everything about God, everything about his plan, everything about his design, the way he designed us to operate, is still about being fruitful and multiplying. Right? Everything. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed. See, because if you read on, it's about seed. Being fruitful and multiplying is about seed. Seed which is on the face of the earth. Now, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Okay. So we're talking about seed and food and plants. But it's a concept that goes into everything about God. Everything. We're a seed. We were created by a seed, right? Everything on the earth continues to be fruitful and multiplies by a seed. Well, since we're spirits, made in the image of God, a spirit, our spirit is a seed, right? Our faith is a seed. The charis, the grace, the gifts of God are a seed to be nurtured and grown and strengthened, right? So Matthew 13, 23. What else is a seed? But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Here's what? What are we supposed to hear? So the word is a seed, right? And how does it get planted? hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. That's how it gets planted and how it grows. And see, and then we understand it. And then we believe it. And then we are fully persuaded. And that seed is a mighty tree that can't be fallen. Right? And now we're receiving grace, all the grace. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. Let's go to Proverbs 18:21, please. So, this is an example. Because what happens is, I want to talk about what I call yeah, but-ism. Because there are foundational concepts in the Word of God that we have to understand to operate the way we're designed to operate. Okay? To mix grace with faith and have that balance. Right? And this is an example of one thing. If we hear a concept in the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you, there are over 300 verses in the Word of God that God commands us to speak His Word out loud over ourselves, over each other, over our lives. Over 300 verses. So God has said in 300 different ways, do this, right? This one, in particular, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's, you can use your tongue to do something out loud, right? I'm using the power of the tongue right now to give you a choice, right? Death or life. And those who love it will eat its fruit. See, we're back to fruit and fruitfulness and multiplication and seed. It's all part of God's plan and purpose and design for who we are, being a spirit who has a soul who lives in a body. Okay. I was in a conversation a while back with some people, and we got into this subject about God's commands to speak His Word out loud. And I got a lot of pushback in the discussion. And one of the excuses someone gave me was, well, what about a person that's both deaf and mute, can't hear and can't speak? They can't hear God's Word and they can't speak it. And I didn't argue because I try not to argue in the middle of a Bible study, but because that's not fruitful. But it's like my first thought is, well, you know, if we were really doing what we were supposed to be doing in God's kingdom is we'd get that person undeaf and unmuted, right? That's where we're supposed to be. But the second thing I thought of is that's a yeah, but. So I've got over 300 verses that tell me to speak and hear God's Word out loud over myself, over others, over my life. And I want to do a yeah, but. Yeah, but what about this? What about this little thing? You know, we're literally arguing with God. We're telling Him He's lying to us over 300 times because there's a yeah, but. And what we really don't have is all the wisdom of God. And we need to quit going off in the little yeah, but. And this is an example I'm talking about. There are other concepts in the Word of God that are hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. And we need to quit arguing with God. And just believe it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. This is part of this example. 2 Corinthians 4 and 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Next verse. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. And a few years ago, I taught that we speak God's word, it's a circle. We speak God's word, we believe God's word. We believe God's word, so we speak God's word. We speak God's word, so we believe God's word. We believe God's word, so we speak God. You getting this? You get in that circle and don't get out, and you're fine. You're on your way. All of us are on our way, okay? Okay, let's look at John chapter 20, please. This is Jesus, and we covered this actually last week, but so I'm just doing this little piece because it's the powerful piece right here. Then he said to Thomas, Jesus, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Here's the part right here. I sometimes need to think I need to tattoo this on my forehead so when I look in the mirror, I can't miss it, right? Do not be unbelieving, but believing. You see, mustard seed of faith will move a mountain, right? But the second we mix it with unbelieving, we took the power out of it. We took the authority to use the power of God out of it. And Jesus stated it about as, I can't make it plainer than he did. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So we need to hear it until we're fully persuaded and it's here and it can't come out. You with me? Okay, James 4, please. James chapter 4. Or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. You know, the spirit in us is jealous for us. Jealous for us. Desperately wants us to have all this grace poured out on us. Desperately wants us to just quit not believing and believe what the Word of God says so we can receive it. This is not a hard thing. And we can't go, I'm going to muster some faith. No, we got to have the Word of God until we quit believing something else. Make sense? And quit mixing yeah buts with it. Right? Especially when there's so much scripture, so much truth from God that tells us otherwise. Verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. See, that's pride. Pride is not arrogant. Biblical pride is not arrogance. I'm all this. Right? But gives grace to the humble. Biblical humility is not believing, quit not believing, and believe. That's submission. That's humility. It's a concept that's over and over and over again in the Word of God. See, when we get our carnal view into this, then we think it's I'm nothing, I'm a worm, and when we're not, we were created and designed to be so much more, right? So real humility is like, okay, now I have the capacity, the ability to just believe the Word of God, fully persuaded. Okay, next verse. Therefore, submit to God. That's what submitting to God is. That's the first part. We can't be resisting the devil and he will flee from you, which is the rest of the verse there. James 4, 7. That's one, I just say James 4, 7. No. Devil, James 4, 7. It's like, you know, it's like, but we have to submit to God, which is not necessarily crawl on our face. We can do that spiritually without doing it physically. But it's like the submission is not stop not believing and believe. That's the submission that gives us the authority to resist the devil. And he will flee from us in every aspect. Okay? Where are we at? Verse 8. Draw near to God. See, this is part of drawing near to God. It's not like, oh, God, I love you, I need you. And that's fine. But real drawing near to God, real worship, and you guys, I had the previous sermon to the one I was talking about, about what real worship is. Real worship is stop not believing and just believe God's word. Get fully persuaded. That's worship. And I took you through the word on that, even in the last sermon to begin with. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, purify this and quit letting this have, yeah, the yeah buts, the double-mindedness. Well, here's all God's word, yeah, but this. Now I've double-minded myself, right? Okay, Ephesians 3, please. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, extreme grace persons use this. Well, see, God can do everything, right? He just needs to decide to. Well, he really decided to do all of this. This is grace. This is the almost too good to be true, which is what gospel means right here in the first part. Comma, according to the power that works in us. The Holy Spirit moved in, wall to wall, possessed by the Holy Ghost, is you and your born again spirit. Now you got all that power. It's already there, it's already decided, it's a done deal with God. He's not going to change his mind. We have to respond, fully persuaded. No yell buts, no not believing. Okay, verse 21. To him be glory in the church. Who's the church? We are. By Christ Jesus to all generations. So this is supposed to go beyond us, right? These kiddos sitting here, these very young believers in Jesus Christ, they have the same power. They have the same measure of faith that we do, right? They just need to believe it and not believe, right? And not yell, but. Him be the glory in the church of Christ, Jesus Christ, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it, right? Okay, Philippians 1, please. Grace to you. See, the word of God, you know, this word needs to mean something to us. Everything God has already done despite us. Every time we see the word grace. Grace to you and peace, which is part of grace, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, we should be praying for each other that we will understand this grace. Take the simplicity of believing this grace in its fullness. Don't take part of the grace and go, well, I'm putting this in a box and I'm not going to believe that part, right? Because then you're not going to receive that part. Amen? Until you take it out of the box and stick it in here and be fully persuaded. Okay, where are we at? Verse, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel, the almost too good to be true good news, from the first day until now. It's a process. Hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word, believing the word, believing the word, believing the word, believing the word. Right? Speaking the word, right? Okay, Romans 5, 8, please. I think, did I finish that? Oh, let's finish Philippians here. Next verse, please. Sorry. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, who's doing the work? He is. Will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It gets completed when we operate the way we were designed to operate. And we've been given all the capacity, all the faith we need to do that. We just need to do it, right? Next verse. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my chains. See, he's Apostle Paul. He's in prison, about to be killed. And what is the last thing he's trying to tell us? What's so important that just before they haul him off and crucify him upside down, he's trying to teach us about grace and faith and the balance and the mixing thereof. And in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, the almost too good to be true good news, you all are partakers with me of grace. All the gifts, all the promises, all the goodness of God. Okay? Now we'll go to Romans 5. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. See, he died for us not just for the 1% of the gospel. He literally died on a cross for the 100%, the hundredfold of the gospel. James chapter 1, please. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. God is not influenced by evil. He doesn't use evil in our lives to teach us something. That's a lie. That is not the gospel. Okay? There's nothing, God has nothing to do with evil. It's sin nature in the world. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. Next verse. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. See, we're getting this thing involved instead of this thing right here. Okay, where are we going? Okay. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Next verse. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. See, this is hearing and meditating on what's not God's word, right? Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, next verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift, that's grace, right? Every good grace and every perfect grace is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning. I mean, there's no darkness. It's all light. One more verse. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Again, we're back to the word, right? That we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or creation. Fruitfulness, multiply. See, we're part of the seed. God's kingdom, right? John 10:10, please. Another one of those verses that can get real rote for us. But the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. Is God the Father the thief? Is Jesus the thief? Is the Holy Spirit the thief? Okay. Then we know who the thief is, right? Yeah. And the next part says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. How do we get the life more abundantly? We operate according to the divine design God created us for, right? Mixing faith, God's grace, what he did without us, right? And he gave us the faith to believe it and receive it and be fully persuaded, and we operate in it, right? Okay, and last verse, Deuteronomy 30 and 19. See, this is the law of Moses here. But even back in the law, we see God's heart. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Jesus fulfilled the law. There's no cursing unless we really think we want to tromp back off into the dark and play with cursing, right? That's a choice, but that's a choice. We have the choice now. That's what we got when we got born again, the choice. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. We don't have to fulfill the law because Jesus did it. We don't have to mess with the curse. We don't have to mess with the bad news. Bad news is not the gospel. What does the gospel mean? Almost too good to be true news. Good news, right? It's so good, it's like, wow. Okay. I'm going to say this one more thing, what I said earlier, but I'm going to say it slightly different. And then I'm done. God is not a respecter of persons. He, by his own word, is a respecter of by grace through faith. That's how the kingdom operates. Father, thank you. Praise you. Glorify you. We submit to you our minds and our hearts to your word that we will no longer second guess you. We will no longer argue with your word. We be not unbelieving, but just believe. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stand together if you would like prayer for anything. We are here. We want to encourage you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you grow in the grace of God. Grow in what you know, and grow in what you're knowing. Does that make sense? Because we're all in this journey, and our journey is to follow Him, to know Him, and to follow Him. So, grab somebody, love on them, encourage them, bless them, in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Thank you for being with us.